is Bill Neville with the Interest Group. And excuse me, I will be hosting the webinar today with our guest, Neil Bawa. If you're a regular attendee of our webinars, then you have already probably experienced at least one presentation that's been done by Neil. He's done about a half a dozen for us, so we're happy to have him. So I'm just going to jump right into this. I will mention at the end of the webinar, Neil and I will be taking questions. So if you have any related specifically to self-directed retirement accounts, then I will answer them. And then if you have any related to Neil's topic and more around real estate, he'll be able to answer those questions. So let's jump right in. Neil, go ahead and move it to the first slide. Okay, there we go. So we put this slide up first as a legal disclaimer that Entrust, we are not financial advisors, we are not lawyers, we are not CPAs. What we are is we are custodians and record keepers of retirement accounts. So before you make any investments, we highly encourage you to do your due diligence and have a conversation with any advisors, CPAs, lawyers, anybody like that who helps you make your investments. But bear in mind that Entrust does not provide that service. We are strictly custodians and record keepers of retirement accounts. So what we're going to be talking about first is I'll go over Entrust and what self-directed IRAs are, and then Neil's going to take over and talk about PropTech versus FinTech, PropTech industry analysis, regional market analysis, and then some case studies, and then at the end we'll do a Q&A. So again, you can type your questions in at any time throughout the presentation, and then we will answer the questions at the end. This is me. I've been with Entrust for actually, it's been over 11 years at this point. What my role is I educate people on how they can use their retirement accounts to invest in non-traditional assets. And I graduated from the Pennsylvania State University. As far as Entrust, we currently hold a little over $4 billion in assets through the life of our company, which has been over 40 years. We've had about 45,000 investors. Currently, we have about 22,000 account holders, and our business model is based around providing you a single point of contact. So anybody who establishes an account with Entrust will have either me or one of my three counterparts, along with our associates, as your single point of contact. Which is a differentiator from most of our competitors who, once you have an account with them, you'll just have an 800 number to call and you get whoever happens to answer the phone. With us, you get a primary point of contact. You'll have, if you're in my region, you'll have mine and my associate Jacob's email and phone number to contact for any questions or assistance that you need. As far as Entrust is concerned, we are custodians and record keepers of your retirement account. The majority of us are certified IRA service professionals. We do have regional offices throughout the United States. As I mentioned, I have counterparts, one in New Jersey for the northeast part of the country, one in Tennessee, which is where our trust company is chartered out of to handle the southeast. And then I have a counterpart in Southern California who handles the southwest part of the country. And then I have the northwest. We do a lot of events. If you are interested in having any of us come and present, if you're a realtor or financial advisor or CPA or anybody like that, and you want to have somebody come and whether over Zoom or do an in-person event to talk about self-directed IRAs, we'll be happy to do that. We do have a continuing education program that provides CE credits to realtors in certain states, to financial advisors, and to CPAs. And then we also have what's called our IRA Academy, where we do training for other people in our industry to be able to pass the certified IRA services professional. We're the only company that has the ability and the authorization to do this. So when we say that we are the leading educators in the industry, we feel pretty good about saying that. What exactly is a self-directed IRA? It's simply an IRA, whether it's a traditional IRA or retirement account, whether it's a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, SEP IRA, 401k. We also have health savings accounts, Coverdale educational savings accounts, in which you as the account holder, you make all your own investment decisions. You do all your own due diligence. You're the one who has to find the investment. So we don't sell you any investments. We don't recommend or endorse or promote any particular investments, but you can hold non-traditional assets. You can invest in, so the IRS allows you to invest in pretty much anything you want inside a retirement account, but it requires a custodian to hold that asset. So if you want to buy real estate or invest in notes or invest in private funds, private placements, precious metals, I could go on and on. The IRS allows you, you're about to do that inside a retirement account, but your bank and brokerage firm is unwilling, is typically going to be unwilling to hold real estate or precious metals or private placements or things like that inside the retirement account. So you need a self-directed custodian like Entrust. And the traditional IRA, Roth IRA, SEP IRA, or anything like that with Entrust is exactly the same from a contribution rules, tax rules, all that stuff as a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, SEP IRA that you have with the Fidelity, Merrill Lynch, Charles Schwab, companies like that. The only difference is in the assets that we hold and the fact that we don't provide advisory services like those other companies do. With that being said, I'm going to mute myself and I'm going to let Neil take over, and then I'll be back at the end to help answer any questions that you have. Thanks again for joining, Neil. It's all you.
Thanks. Hello, everyone. And thank you to everyone at Entrust for allowing me to share my thoughts today on a phenomenon that I think all of you have heard about. The phenomenon is called prop tech or property technology. So my name's Neil Bawa. I'm a self-confessed geek, nerd. I nerd out on understanding and using tech solutions that solve real problems in usually in real estate. My companies, Grow Capitus and UGrow, have a billion-dollar portfolio. So luckily, I get to run hundreds and hundreds of experiments. So I think I'm a good candidate to present a webinar that's talking about the prop tech phenomenon. Now, as I present the webinar, I'm going to turn off my video so you know I'm not covering up the screen, but I'll turn it back on at the end of the webinar to when I'm answering questions. My job today is to tell you about prop tech as a phenomenon and what it means for real estate investor profits. I'm going to introduce you to dozens of companies that are solving real estate problems. I'm not representing any of these companies. I have no axe to grind. In fact, I'm a customer of many of these companies. My goal is that when you leave the webinar today, you've written down a few of these companies. So grab a pen, grab a pencil, because these are solving real problems that you have as an investor or as a landlord. If I can achieve that for some of you, that would be a good result for me. But if not, at least you can fully understand the nature of this prop tech disruption and how it's completely changing real estate. So quick information about me. Our portfolio is 4,800 units at this point, multifamily, self-storage, industrial, student housing. We're in 10 states. We've got the portfolio is roughly $1 billion. I love what I do in real estate, but I really enjoy exploding myths and sharing information. So what I'm doing right now is actually my true love, sharing information with investors. Here's our portfolio. We do all kinds of stuff. We build buildings, we do build to rent, we build multifamily. You can see, and of course, you know, there's a good part of our portfolio that's not new construction. These are buildings built in the 70s and 80s that we rehab. We will not be discussing any kind of returns in this webinar or projected returns, because those are future events. But so far, the seven exits that we've had have roughly doubled our projections. All right, let's get started. The best way to introduce a new topic is through a definition. Note that I'm going to define not just prop tech here on the right in blue, which is short for property technology, but also fintech, short for financial technology. Now, fintech is part of this prop tech story, so it's super important to define it. Let's start with fintech first. So fintech companies scale and automate the flow of money using technology, and they have far lower overhead, less infrastructure than, you know, traditional finance companies like banks. Their office is a website, their marketing channels are internet-based, and their model is mostly self-service, usually through apps, so clicks instead of paper. Three famous fintech companies are PayPal, Square, and Venmo. All of these three make it easy to move money around. Now, you're going to note that on the screen here, I didn't use PayPal or Venmo in my examples. While fintech is a big umbrella with thousands of tech companies, all three of my examples are fintech companies that flow money into real estate. So CrowdStreet on the screen, they CrowdStreet, Cadre, and Fundrise, these three, are fintech companies because they raise money from investors for investment, but they're also prop tech companies. Why? Because then they pour that money into real estate, and that makes them property technology companies. So let's define this term, prop tech. A prop tech company focuses on scaling the construction, the management, the investment of real estate using technology. And these are all companies that are disrupting the very old-fashioned ways in which real estate is built and managed and bought and sold. The three examples that I already gave you are prop techs because they're changing the way real estate is invested, right? All right. So let me give you some other examples, right? You know, who hasn't heard of Zillow? Zillow helps us buy and sell and manage real estate. Compass is similar to Zillow. They're a tech-enabled brokerage. Now, Opendoor is different. They're basically an iBuyer. They allow people to sell their properties without an agent in minutes by providing some information and a video of the property. And boom, sellers receive an initial offer in minutes, which becomes a final offer after an Opendoor agent walks through the house. Very convenient, right? Very disruptive. All right. And then there's this company, Roofstock. Roofstock also helps you to sell your property, but their real neat trick is that they allow you to invest in rental real estate for $5,000. They find, they buy, they manage the real estate. You can invest in 5K chunks in various portfolios of single family homes and get cash flow. For example, last week they had a portfolio of 8 properties in and around Atlanta and Indianapolis that you as investors can invest in just $5,000 chunks, and you can get cash flow without any work. Now, the cash flow is fairly low, but think of it as competing with stocks, which offer, you know, no cash flow at all. So to sum it up, whether they're helping you to invest, to buy, to sell as real estate, prop techs are here. They're here in force to completely disrupt the real estate paradigms. Later in this presentation, I'm going to share examples of prop techs that also help with construction and management of real estate. And you might say, Neil, what's the big deal? The big deal is that venture capitalists believe that these prop tech companies are going to completely change real estate, complete and utter disruption. Think about the airline industry when they were travel agents to where it is now. That's what these people are thinking. For example, in the last slide, I mentioned a company called Roofstock. And remember, they help people buy and sell real estate, but you can also invest in single family portfolios that they find, they buy, they manage in $5,000 chunks. Very recently, SoftBank, one of the biggest investors in the world, invested a stunning $365 million in Roofstock. And with this investment, Roofstock went from being a stunning $600 million in valuation to a even more stunning, more crazy $1.94 billion value. Why? Because single family real estate is now becoming an enormous institutional asset class, not just for mom and pop investors, but for institutional investors. Everybody wants it, not just SoftBank. My wife is a school teacher in Hayward Unified School District in the San Francisco Bay Area. Their pension fund is investing in real estate. BlackRock and Blackstone are two very famous investing titans. Both are now investing in large single family portfolios. So a company like Roofstock, which is on the buy side and the sell side, and the management side for single family portfolios is hot, 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 hot. And the end result of rising rents, rising prices, huge interest from institutional buyers in housing and built to rent is that companies in this space are skyrocketing in valuations. For instance, our next section is actually going to talk about whether Roofstock is going to be valued this much, right? So we're gonna just note their previous valuation, note the new valuation, right? Jumped 3X in a single round. And you might think that this is amazing, it must be a great company. Well, we're gonna learn more about that later. You can't imagine just how much money is flowing into prop tech. In 2021, an absolutely mind-boggling $32 billion was invested into these property technology companies. $32 billion in a year. And half of that $32 billion went just to prop tech companies that are focused on the residential market or single family market. And then the venture capital funding also increased by 28% in a single year. So from 2020 to 2021. Now, we do know that the stock market is down this year by 20%. The startup market is down even more. That's a great thing. As you can see from the screen, things are getting bubbly, they're getting frothy. So it's nice to get a correction, nice to get a consolidation. Weak companies die, strong ones prosper. I think it's good for everyone concerned. And as more money gets injected into real estate, investment in prop tech companies is you know, continuing to break records, not just before the correction, but also after the correction. Here's a really nice chart that shows all the different segments, all the different buckets of prop tech. So on the left, you're seeing companies working in every aspect of development of homes. I like this one here, Blockable, right? And as an investor, you might want to follow them. You might want to write this down. These guys are building a modular home product in their factory, just like my Casada project in Austin, except that they have stacking technology. So they can build stackable multifamily really, really fast. Another one to watch is in the middle section called Divi. They're not in this section, they're here, right? And Divi has created a rent-to-own model where renters become eligible to own the property that they're renting in as little as 3 years, right? And then on the right side, in the asset utilization bucket, everyone knows Airbnb. But look under Airbnb and you're gonna see Star City. They're now called Common, by the way, changed their name. And they're doing for co-living what Airbnb does for vacations. With co-living properties in a dozen cities, they're turning this long-term rental model in its head because you can jump from one co-living property in one city to another one. I could literally spend an hour on this slide, but here's my message. This slide has dozens of billion-dollar companies and a few $10 billion companies. As an investor, with a little bit of research, a little bit of interest, you can figure out how to use the coattails of these companies to make a lot of money in real estate. Let's look at some recent deal examples, right? Picasso, my absolute favorite, because I'm likely to become a client of theirs. Guess what Picasso does? They buy luxury single family homes for an average of $6 million. Then they sell 8 fractional shares to rich people. These people then get to live in Picasso homes up to 44 days every year. These buyers, they can't make any money from their fractional shares except for the long-term appreciation. So they can't rent them out, they can't do Airbnb, but it is a very efficient way of buying fractional ultra-luxury real estate. Picasso charges a one-time 12% fee to the buyers. 12% of 6 million is a lot. They went from launch to unicorn status in only 5 months. And are at an astonishing $1.5 billion valuation. So many of you might be skeptical about Picasso. Neil, come on, where's the value here? So they buy mansions and sell shares to rich people. Yes, but imagine buying $1 billion worth of mansions a year and then making a 12% fee on them and then charging ongoing asset management fee to manage them for these 8 rich owners. And rich people love it because they get to own a $6 million home for $800K. And what's happening is that the rich guy, instead of buying one $6 million second home, is buying 8 shares in 8 different Picasso homes. Now the rich dude owns 8 mansions. That's disruptive. And it's really not a bad deal if you're rich and you don't want any hassle. So there's so many properties. And I love doing little demos. So I'm going to just pop out of PowerPoint for a second and see if I can actually show you. This is the Picasso website. You might say, who the heck will buy this stuff? Look at how many they're selling at the same time. These are all uber luxury properties. You can see $717,000 a share. I was actually looking at this one here, Delray Beach. I'm interested in Delray Beach. $858 a share. Again, you might say, ooh, that's expensive. Not for rich people, because right now this property is $6 million if I want to buy it by myself. But with Picasso, I can live in this property 44 days a year. I have lockers in the back. All the owners have lockers. So we can go in and live in there. And no Airbnb, no rental model, but those, I bet you that 858 share is going to be worth $1.2 million when they sell. And by the way, they also make money when the shares are sold from one, you know, person to another. So I think it's a very clever model. Very, very clever. All right, back to the PowerPoint. ServiceTitan in the middle is a software platform. It connects landlords, property managers, and investors to tradesmen and contractors. And these contractors now offer financing to their customers through ServiceTitan. They provide estimates. They get marketing services to find clients. They can even monitor job costs, all in one software. This allows contractors to grow much faster than they could. Over 100,000 contractors are using ServiceTitan. No wonder that it's worth $9.5 billion and looking to go public this year once the stock market settles down just a little bit. Right now, it's having conniptions. And it's not just investment numbers that are high. A record number of prop tech companies are fully exiting in various ways, IPOs, SPACs, at very high valuation. I mean, here's four of them, right? So three of them are worth over $1 billion at their exit. The red one on the left was an initial public offering on the stock exchange. The other three did the lazy way. They went public by merging with a public SPAC entity, right? So you can see the diversity of the prop techs. Procore, construction companies, top software. When I build gorgeous built-to-rent products, my team uses Procore to manage thousands of tasks and dozens of contractors. SmartRent in blue has pretty cool technology that allows property managers to show a property to a tenant or a buyer remotely. Very slick technology. It uses smartphones and driver licenses to make sure that the right person is entering the property and then gives them access to the property. And that allows a property manager to do a tour at 7 a.m. on Sunday or 8 p.m. on Saturday. You know, it extends the efficiency of renting properties. And they were able to go public for $2.2 billion. Bottom line is, if the business plan is strong, the exits are there today in both prop tech and fintech segments because of the incredible liquidity from public markets. You've got SPACs, you've got VCs and private equity. Then you've got investors like you who are also investing in companies like Procore and SmartRent. Whoops. And as we continue on this prop tech journey, I want to give you an example of one of my prop tech projects. So under the Casada brand, we're using technology to build a truly unique project in the Austin market. Austin's the hottest market in the country. The Casada prop tech brand, it builds a technology-enabled micro home community. It's in San Marcos, which is in Austin Metro. This product, it fills a sorely needed gap in an area with a very painful, very severe housing crisis. And this PropTech model has three elements: a very stunning and modern and environmentally sensitive design. It's got an incredible tech stack of 14 different technologies that are conveniently combined into a single proprietary mobile app that allows residents to manage all of their needs and effortlessly control their smart home, even get a car wash. And lastly, there's a curated lifestyle. This is the key. Cultivated engagement opportunities that tenants crave. You're talking dog parks, volunteer opportunities, music events, yoga classes, and so much more. And one key PropTech focus is to disrupt the construction market. And that's what Casada is doing because our units are built offsite in factories. They're modular units. This is not, you know, mobile homes, but these are modular homes. This is a construction method that's incredibly popular across Europe. It's quickly becoming adopted in the US. So it allows for faster construction and less waste, higher quality structures, and reduces the development's initial and long-term operational cost. And what does that mean for investors? Better returns and faster cash flows. Because when it comes to multifamily investing, Austin's a place to be. Take a quick look at Austin stats. Past 10 years, the population of Austin grew by 32%. Which is shocking, but it didn't even keep pace with job growth at 44%. Austin's now the number one tech market in the US. It's also the hottest labor market, and Austin rents increased a whopping 35% last year. So for Casada's first community, which was in Austin, we've had to raise rents four times since launch early last year. And residents are now looking for affordable cities away from the city center. And so San Marcos, which is about 20 miles away, is the most affordable city in the Austin metro area. Rents are going crazy there too, but they are 35% cheaper than Austin. My second prop tech project is Equinox Townhomes in the New Brunfels, Texas. It's on the San Antonio-Austin corridor and uses technology to democratize investment into turnkey duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Normally, when you buy a duplex for rental 1,000 miles away, you're worried about whether the property manager who's managing 1,000 units will pay any attention to your measly duplex rental, or whether the $100 an hour maintenance guy that the property manager sends across to your duplex actually fixes the problem. I became obsessed with finding a way to combine all the killer benefits of my big rental communities, you know, the on-site property manager, the on-site maintenance, but I wanted a 100% ownership model, not a profit split. So after years of work, we came up with this disruptive prop tech model. It allows our investors to own duplexes, triplexes, or fourplexes, just 100% ownership, inside a large institutional community. Everyone owns their own property, but everyone gets access to the dedicated property manager, the dedicated maintenance staff, and then your tenants get access to all the amenities, gyms, playgrounds, pools. We think this is the best of both worlds. You can see an example on the screen of one such community. And on where my mouse is, that's a fourplex owned by, you know, one particular investor. This big building has three investors in it, but they all own their own properties. And this one spread across 10 acres right in the middle of the city. Here's a look at what the rental properties look like with vaulted ceilings. We think this disruptive 100% ownership model with dedicated property manager is the actual future of rental ownership. And the returns are not bad either. If you'd like, we can tell you more. Just connect with us. All right. And all good prop techs must have a fintech component. Interest rates are going up. So we invented a low-cost program that actually caps your interest rates, so you can invest without worrying about a future interest rate increase. How's that for a fintech spin? Just to recap, so we've got these two projects. I'll ask Bill, he can put a link to these two into the chat. And you can book a group sessions with one of our managers. They'll be happy to answer your questions and show you the returns and the cash flow. All right, done with my PropTech projects. Back to the main presentation. While PropTech is the second hottest vertical in venture capital today, blockchain, by the way, is the first, every sector is seeing record investments. Between 2020 and 2021, nearly 400 unicorn companies joined the famous $1 billion club. 400 in a single year. That's nuts. As traditional industries continue to be disrupted, more and more money is flowing to the tech-driven disruptive models. And since real estate is the largest asset class in the world, not the stock market, real estate, there's a lot of focus today on real estate disruption. Sure, we've seen this recent stock market decline. Some of these companies have gone down by 30 or 40%. As I said, disruption's good. It's good for things to adjust. It's good for there to be more concrete focus on profits. So I think this is good for the industry, though I'm sure these 959 unicorns may not agree with me. What's great is that the US is continuing to take the lead. 50% of all unicorns are in the US. So we're still at the very cutting edge of technology. We're numero uno, and with the exception of China, really no one else is doing a great job. And public listings and SPAC exits for bigger deals in general, not just in prop tech, but in general, are becoming more commonplace. So on the left, you see IPO exits, right? So these are, you know, public listings on the New York Stock Exchange. Note how big the bars are in 2020 and 2021 are. On the right, you have exits through special purpose investment vehicles called SPACs. So companies go public instantly. Now, I do expect that both of these bars will be a little bit shorter in 2022. But even if they go down 40% from the last year, these numbers are still mind-boggling. This is change in real time. And it's not just venture capital. Private equity is putting huge dollars into these tech companies. And private equity is also buying these companies. On the left, you see the deals that they're doing. On the right, you see the exits where they're buying companies outright. I mean, these are massive, massive numbers. These are all mega exits. And companies are not far behind. They're also using their dollars in the bank to buy tech companies. Look at the difference between 2020 and 2021. That's a 250% jump in companies buying tech startups in mega exits. Bottom line, even with a big stock market correction, it's clear that the investment and buyout activity is very strong. It's going to continue. All right, let's get back to prop tech and talk about another very, very hot prop tech market that I think is a good investment target for you guys. Not with me, but a good investment target in general. In a post-COVID world, people want to live in healthy homes. Now, surveys indicate that 76% of them believe their homes are harming their health and well-being. 66% believe that a healthy home could cut down their medical bills, and 83% are willing to pay more for a healthier home. With so much interest from consumers, a huge number of companies are launching healthy home products. But the world leader is a company that I'm a client of. They're called Delos. Now, I'm just a customer. Right? But I'm happy to say I was a customer before COVID. They don't pay me. I don't own stock, but boy, their technology, very impressive, and can make a lot of money for those of you that have Class A higher end rentals. The margins, the premiums that you can get from these healthy homes, I have them in my properties. The margins are pretty amazing. The women walking through the door, they see the dashboard and they're like, wow, I'm not looking at any other rentals. So Delos uses this iPad-based home wellness intelligence platform. The iPad's installed right inside the front door of your home or your rental, and it's constantly measuring and improving air quality, measuring and improving water quality. As you can imagine, there's also equipment installed in the house that does the actual water cleaning, actual air cleaning. In fact, Delos's technology, which is usually installed in your garage, can filter out COVID. It can filter out other harmful particles. Their water filtration can remove chlorine and particulates and cysts. And their indoor air quality monitors can immediately warn you if you have CO2 or other dangerous gases or particles in the indoor air. Delos, after its founding, they created a collaboration with the Mayo Clinic to study the impact of indoor environments on our health. They created a well-living lab, and that led to the well-building standard, which led to the creation of the Well-Building Institute. And the standards that have been produced by the Well Living Institutes have now led to 30,000 well projects in 98 countries with 3 billion square feet of well living space. When I was vacationing in Dubai, they were advertising a brand new luxury tower with multi-million dollar homes. They were leading all of their marketing with the Delos brand and the Well Living Standard. I know why. Right now, we have properties that we're leasing up that have Delos. It's nuts. People just come in, look at this, and they forget everything else. They forget the price. Now, I happen to know that Delos is preparing to go public. I'm excited to become an investor when that happens. My thinking is these guys are the world leaders. They set all the standards. They've guided 30,000 projects. Given that there are tens of millions of residential and commercial buildings just in Western countries, they've got a lot of room to grow. I mean, I'm not an investment advisor. Do your own research. Investments involve risk. I can tell you, I'm going to be giving them money. And just one last slide on this particular prop tech. These are just some of the global clients that they already have. Look at this. MGM, IKEA, CBRE, Superstar, Dubai Holding. This is the company that's owned by the Sheikh. These are some of the global clients. I think this is an incredible company to invest in. Obviously, I don't offer any way that you can invest in Delos, and they don't offer that either, but I believe in a few months there will be an opportunity for you. I think this is a 5-year, 10-year thing that you should really look at. So clearly, Delos is a star prop tech, but not all prop techs are like Delos. Here are two case studies of prop techs. I think both are good companies. They should do well, but they're also symbols, symbols of how bubbly, how out of control Wall Street valuations can get. So welcome to this last part of the presentation. Our first case study is CrowdStreet. So CrowdStreet is a famous fintech prop tech company. It's truly the Walmart of real estate crowdfunding. Investors can invest as little as 25K. So it's a really cheap way to get into crowdfunding. But CrowdStreet doesn't develop real estate like me. They don't manage buildings like I do. They raise money for other people. And their average raise size for developers like me, about 7 million, generally gathered from 100 plus investors. Their total equity raised in 2021 is super impressive, 1.2 billion. And their average returns from the investments that they've made in companies like mine, basically developers, are pretty impressive too, 18.5% IRR. These are not my returns, by the way, I'm sharing someone else's. So far so good, right? They must be worth a lot of money. Well, what you don't know about CrowdStreet is that CrowdStreet is definitely a glorified equity broker. They make about a 3% margin, not profit margin, revenue, on the equity they raise as any broker does. So let's do some math. They've raised $1.2 billion in equity in the last year, and at a 3% broker fee, we think their actual revenue is about $36 million, best guess. So their net profit is probably 30% of this number, so about $10 million, right? So 36 million revenue, they got to pay their employees, right? If you look at this slide, their current valuation is on the left, right? I think this is crazy, right? If you look at this $36 million revenue guess, their valuation is 80x of revenue, not 80x of profit, which is also very high. because the S&P 500 is at 16x profit, 80x of revenue, right? I mean, I wouldn't pay that, but I guess that venture capital companies don't agree. And you might be thinking this is an isolated example. This is, he's just picking one, right? Let's look at another one. Here's our second case study, Roofstock. Roofstock, this is a prop tech unicorn, right? They allow people to buy and sell homes. Its valuation is $1.94 billion. And we estimate that their revenue last year was a staggering $3 billion. Seems huge, right? But once again, Roofstock is a broker. From the information on their website, we would guess they make 1% to 3% in commission. So we're going to take that 3% number, apply it to this $3 billion, and we end up with $90 million in actual revenue. This is a guesstimate, obviously. And so $90 million in revenue, this $90 million in revenue, well, they've got a $2 billion valuation. So imagine they make $90 million revenue. Let's us assume that, you know, that 30% of that is profit. Well, then their profit's only about 30 million bucks, right? Well, look at this. This is 22x, right, of their revenue, 74x profit. So bottom line is this. What I've shown you is this. Prop tech is here to stay. Prop tech is not going away. Prop tech is completely democratizing, demolishing every business model. Whether it's the way homes are built, whether it's the way multifamily is built, whether it's the way they're managed, whether it's the way they're sold, and whether it's the way they're invested. But there's a lot of bubbliness in the market. You need to be careful as investors. Then you've got products like Delos that are a rock star that I think are going to have an incredible 10-year run. So that's my presentation today. I'm happy to answer questions. If you have your own startups that you want to ask me questions on, I'm happy to answer those too. Back to Bill.
All right. Thanks, Neil. Yeah, fire away with those questions. We don't have any yet. As far as what's going on with Entrust, our next webinar, which is going to be June 22nd, is on how to avoid IRA fraud. There will be a survey at the end whenever you check out. So please answer and let us know. Let us know how it went and any feedback you have in that survey. Visit our website, which is www.theentrustgroup.com, and our learning center specifically, where this and all of our other presentations are located. And then finally, you can find us on social media. All right, with that being said, if there's any questions that anybody has, there aren't any at the moment. Neil, you want to go to, I think on the next to last slide, it's got our contact information.
Yep, I'm going to go up here.
So go ahead and there we go. Leave that up. So that. If you need to get a hold of me, if you have any specific questions about self-directed IRAs, there's my contact info.
And if you have questions about our investments, I think you can email me at neil@growcapitus.com or just go to www.growcapitus.com for various kinds of projects. We didn't talk about much about those projects, but they were very interesting.
All right. Neil, let's see. Let me expand this to make it easier for me. All right, so the first one, can we invest in SPACs through Entrust? Sure. Yeah, you can invest in SPACs using an IRA. It's essentially a private placement, right? A privately held entity.
Yeah. And by the way, it's likely that Delos will go public through a SPAC. I know somebody there that knows lots of their rumors. So these are rumors, but I'm a huge fan of this company.
Next question, what is valuation and why is it important to know when researching a company to invest in? Neil, you can take that one.
Because, for example, if you invested in Tesla, you know, let's say 3 or 4 months ago, today Tesla stock is down 40%. If you invested in Netflix in November, today their stock is down 75%. So, you know, you could have, and Netflix and Tesla are both obviously superstar companies. I think these are studs. But what happens over time is that as more and more investors come to that conclusion, more and more people invest and the company becomes overvalued. Understanding valuations is key. Those last few slides were there to make you understand that you can have a great company like CrowdStreet or like Roofstock, but those companies can become overvalued. So when you're doing the math, like let's say you're doing the math on Delos at the point that they go public, they're going to share some information. It's important for you to spend 5 or 10 minutes to do the math and say, hey, maybe this company right now is overvalued. I love it, but do I have to invest in it today? No, I'll wait for 3 months, 6 months, maybe after the IPO, it'll settle down. Because usually after IPOs, stock goes up, and then very often the stock goes down 30, 40, 45 days later when the initial excitement sort of wears off. They tend to go back down, and a lot of times that's been happening in the last year or two. So my message is there's a ton of really great prop techs. I think ServiceTitan, by the way, the one that aggregates contractors, is a stud. Their technology, their business model, I wouldn't be surprised that 10 years from now, half of all the general contractors in the US use ServiceTitan, because the advantages that they give you, the ability to grow, you can't get from anybody else. Having said that, I'm sure in the next 10 years, there's going to be points where ServiceTitan stock is highly overvalued, and there's going to be times when it's highly undervalued. Like my example for Netflix, right? I didn't buy Netflix in November, but when it crashed because they had a bad quarter, they lost people because of the Ukraine, I immediately went and invested in Netflix. So now I'm like, okay, for the next 5 years, I'm going to let it run. I think you have to look at prop techs the same way. Because they are technology companies, there's going to be a lot of bubbliness. There's somebody will tweet about something, and all of a sudden a proper company will go up 70%. And then one single bad earnings report will come down. They'll crash by 70%. So that's the unfortunate nature of these tech companies. You can't really be drinking the Kool-Aid all the time. So look for them, make sure that you're doing the valuation math sort of the way I did, right? So I like Roofstock, right? But right now, well, maybe they're a little bit too expensive, right? But there will be lots of opportunities as long as you're investing in these kind of projects over time. Maybe the valuation goes down. When it goes down, it's a great time to pick these up because the disruption's happening. What these companies are doing is real. Picasso is another favorite of mine. I mean, it's a lot of, sometimes people are like, hey, I don't think I'm going to be paying $800,000 to buy a share of a mansion. Yes, but there's millions of people that buy $5-6 million second homes. And Picasso is making it so much easier to own these things. No hassle. Go to a website, look at them, click, click, click. I think that's an exceptional company. Just so you know, Picasso's CEO was CEO of Zillow when they went public. So I think these are amazing companies. They're completely going to change the way real estate is done, but they're also bubbly. So do the math. The valuation math is critical.
I think Roofstock is headquartered in Oakland. Yeah, right around the corner from our office, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Next one is just simply how to invest with Neil.
So the best way is, Bill can give you the link to my company, growcapitus.com, GROCAPITUS.com. The first thing I want you to do is to look at our exits from, we've had 7 exits. They're on the homepage of our website. We don't hide that information. As you can imagine, we've had one that didn't hit its projections, came in a little bit lower, and then we've had 6 that have exceeded its projections. We've almost doubled our projected IRR on those 7 exits over a long time. And then there's some projects listed there that you might be interested in. If you want to have a longer philosophical discussion about your investment interests, there's a sign up on that website, which will direct you to our folks. And if you're not interested in being an investor, you just want to be a home buyer, a landlord, you want to buy your own fourplexes or duplexes, then there's also a link on that website that directs you to those. And you can use IRA money for both. About 20% of all the investors that we have are using, self-directed IRA money. And those two investments have pros and cons to them. I'm more partial to the fourplex model because the depreciation never gets recaptured. Just keep it forever, right? Just refinance, take your money out. So I like that model for the long-term growth, but a lot of investors like investing just in syndication projects. And that's fine too. We have a number of those available as well.
So next one starts off, Neil, You are the most brilliant real estate investor I've ever met. Would you recommend a product in real estate that provides compound interest?
There are several. The question is, should I recommend them? The answer is no, because today those markets are pretty bubbly. I think there's two ways to look at compounding. You can look at compounding on a monthly or an annual basis, in which case I have no products to suggest. But compounding really needs to be looked at over a longer term, because then that's where there's more high quality products available. And I think that in general, real estate investing is compounding in nature. About 30 to 40% of our syndication investors, they give us, you know, $50,000 and $100,000 chunks. They roll money from one project of ours to another. And obviously, they're taking those profits and they're compounding them. Now, sometimes they end up paying taxes, and in other projects, they don't. So we have, you know, some opportunities where they can 1031 that money. Obviously, if you're using IRA money, you don't care about that at all because you're not paying the taxation. The money is going back into your IRA account. So that's why IRAs are so popular. So what they're doing is they end a project and then we have a project lined up and they basically just flip that money into the next project. That's compounding. It's just not a short-term compounding. I don't have any good examples at this point to give you of monthly or annual short-term compounding, because they were good examples many years ago that have now sort of turned into Ponzi schemes. So I tend to be very afraid of those.
Next one says, you mentioned Latch. Who I know, is that still a good investment opportunity?
Well, the short answer is, I think Latch is doing well. And every company that I picked, you know, as you can imagine, I showed you a grid with like 100 companies in it. And then I showed you four examples of exits, four examples of, you know, companies that have received money. Yes, Latch is a good company, but they are in a crowded market. So Picasso is truly unique. I do not know of any company in the US doing what they're doing. And they have overcome a hurdle that I've never seen anyone else overcome. They are selling 8 pieces of a home, correct? They're offering financing. So imagine that Picasso has managed to crack this, the thing that people have been trying to do for 50 years. They've managed to convince a bank, First Republic, to offer mortgages to 8 people for the same property. I think that's insanely brilliant. I haven't seen Latch do anything brilliant like that. I think Latch is a good company in a good market, but there's half a dozen companies trying to do smart home technology. I'm not sure which one wins.
Next question, can we use IRAs to invest in Neil's real estate projects? Yes, of course.
Sure.
How do you do due diligence on Delos if not public yet?
Well, here's the thing. A company that's not public still allows you to do due diligence, just not for financials. You can call Delos. They have a public relations team. You can sit down and say, hey, I know that you guys have plans in the future to go public. I'd like to learn more about you. They'll give you lots of information. I mean, companies are telling you their whole story, especially Delos, which is a market leader, so they don't really have any, you know, true competitors. What you won't be able to do due diligence on at this point is their financials, because they're a public private company. They're going to keep that close to their chest. But you do realize that when they file to go public, they're going to have to disclose that. So I think you can do your due diligence in two pieces. First, convince yourself that this is a company that you want to invest in yourself. You know, you're not investing through Neil Bawa or Bill Neville. You're just investing directly. Once you're convinced, wait. You will I think in the coming months, hear that announcement. And when they plan to go public, they will have to disclose their financials. So at that point, you want to do the math that's on the screen. Even though Delos is a great company, I'm still going to do that math. So I'm a little hesitant to invest in Delos at, maybe I'll invest at, you know, 50x profit. And Delos, by the way, unlike many other PropTechs, is profitable and has been profitable for a while. So sure, if they're at 50x profit, I'll invest in it, even though the S&P 500 is at, you know, 20x profit, because Delos has huge potential. But if they're at 200 or 300 a profit, I'm going to say, you know what? There, a better time will come, right? So if you look at the five-year Netflix model, if you invested in 2015, Netflix was at a P/E ratio of hundreds, you know, like 200. Today, the P/E ratio is 16. The investment time frame should have been somewhere in the middle when they were at a P/E ratio of 40 or 50. So do the math. don't offer an outrageous PE multiple even to a company like Delos. So what I would say is you probably want to wait a few months after their IPO, or, you know, they go through a SPAC. It's just a stock on the stock market. You can pick it up from your app. Just don't be in a hurry. That's my message. There's great companies out there. I'm sure Picasso, when it goes public, there's going to be a frenzy because it's brilliant. But why, I mean, just wait for 3 to 6 months. After all the hype dies down, the stock will come down a little bit, pick it up, wait for 5 years. I think you'll do really well.
Neil, are any of your investments suitable for 1031 tax deferred exchanges? I imagine they would be.
So the answer is yes, but there's so much demand for those that we require a one-on-one conversation. And so then you tell us what your window looks like and we tell you if you have something available. I'd say we have something available roughly half of the year. So we're hoping that our window matches yours. Otherwise, it may not work. So definitely a one-on-one conversation. You come in, you talk about your 1031 requirements, and we share what we have. Syndications are easier. We do a lot of projects, so there's almost always something that works. 1031 is harder.
Next question, Neil. This guy, Larry, might need to expand on it. He simply said, is there an ETF type of investing, one investment covering multiple? I don't know if he's asking maybe if you have.
No, I don't have, you know, I have funds. So obviously for smaller companies, funds and ETFs are equivalent. But I think I'm going to take the question, Bill, as if he's asking about prop techs. I do not know if there's a prop tech ETF, but I think you're only 5 minutes away from a Google search to figure it out. It makes all the sense in the world to do a prop tech ETF today because their values must have gone down a good 40%, I'm guessing, if not 50%. I think prop tech's an awesome industry. But every industry gets bubbly. I think in February, their valuations, or in November, their valuations were a little bit too crazy. I wouldn't have given a penny to an ETF. Today, I might consider it, yes. So I'm actually curious myself to see if there's a prop tech ETF. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one.
Neil, do you know anything about land trusts for conservation purposes?
Yes, I've looked at them before. It's just not my field. So I think that these are specialties where people with a high level of knowledge and liquidity do well, and everybody else loses money. So be careful.
Next question, here's one for me. Do these investments have tax implications for IRAs? That is, if you get a K-1, so you have to pay someone to do your taxes. So we sometimes get, like, when somebody makes an investment in their IRA, that investment is held in the name of the IRA under the tax ID of the IRA. So therefore, if the investment sponsor is generating a K-1, it's typically the only reason we would use it for anything, or you would need to use it for anything, would be to maybe update the fair market value of your investment, which is something that we do ask our account holders to provide us with, on an annual basis at least. So when an investment's held inside an IRA, it's sheltered by the fact that it's the IRA that owns the investment. So no, any of these investments that have been talked about, whether investing in a fund or real estate or a privately held company, even if they generate a K-1, they're going to be generating the K-1 for your retirement account. And a retirement account doesn't file taxes. So it's really, K-1s when it comes to retirement accounts are really not applicable, again, unless you want to use it to as supporting documentation to update the fair market value of your investment. Neil, how do you think about the development of mobile home parks from a prop tech point?
Mobile home parks are blighted. So most cities do not want to have anything to do with the mobile home park. They are not zoning space for it. As you know, mobile home parks were very popular in the US in the 50s, 60s, 70s, sort of slowed down in the 80s, and then sort of died after that because the cities, they were seeing values of their single family homes fall when they were mobile home, you know, parks in cities. So they stopped zoning for it. I haven't seen any change in that. I don't see any cities zoning for mobile home parks. So really, this is a existing asset class that functions, works well, but in terms of new stock, I'm not seeing much. So what I, you know, the project, the Casada project, and I'll show you a picture of that on the screen, is really like a mobile home park. It's a next level evolution. It's not a mobile home park because it's a proper homes, right? So it's a regular home. It's on a concrete foundation, but they are micro homes, right? So if you look at like this home, this is about a 500 square foot home. 450 square feet. But it's a beautiful home. It's built in a factory. It's much stronger than any home that's built on site because it's not exposed to the elements, no snow, no rain. So what's really happening is mobile home parks are being replaced with people going out and buying lands and installing modular homes. So that's what I'm seeing. And the cities don't mind that because modular homes, because they look nicer than mobile homes, do not have that the blight that cities associate with mobile home parks. I personally feel mobile home parks are a great solution towards our housing crisis, but if cities are not going to zone for them, it's one of those sad solutions that will never really happen. Cities don't have any issues with modular, technology products, especially if they have a tech focus to them and, young techies are living there. So I think this is kind of like an evolution of that. I do wish still that more cities were brave enough to zone land for modular home for mobile homes. I think they're a terrific product.
All right, Neil, that seems to be the last question. Thanks as always for joining us. We will send out to everybody who signed up, who registered for the webinar, will be getting a copy of the webinar along with mine and Neil's contact info. Again, Neil is at GrowCapitus. GrowCapitus.com. We are the Entrust Group, which is theentrustgroup.com. Neil, thanks as always. And, I'm sure we'll have you on again in another 6 months or so. Take care.
Thanks so much, Bill. Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.